Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a Gundam Wing podcast that came to Earth disguised as shooting stars, and we have reached the end of Gundam Wing. I'm Hugh.
I'm Jared.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Lady Un. I mean Spence.
Which Lady Un?
Ha ha! That's for you to find out.
She's wearing glasses. She's a nice one.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can see you on video. We can tell you're the nice one.
Shut up. You're blowing my cover. Anyway.
The one with glasses is the one that killed all those
You're
people.
Right. Yeah. The murderer.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. She's shooting people out of the back of planes. Okay.
And then shooting them.
Yeah.
You know, got to make sure they're double dead. Because clearly I wasn't.
So do you think he hit the ground, like landed on somebody's parked car? Like, can you imagine coming out that morning? Like, you're walking the dog, you're getting your paper out of the mailbox or whatever, and you're like, ah, wonderful, bam, and there's just this chair and a guy in it?
No, what happened was, it fell in Dorothy's lawn, and so he hit the lawn like a lawn dart, and Dorothy, instead of being terrified, was fascinated, and thus began her reign of terror.
It's like Christmas for Dorothy.
I kind of feel like the nature of this universe is such that these kind of events are happening constantly, and we just happen to be focusing on one slice of them. But in truth, like, no one's surprised at all. The real question is, who exactly shot this man out of the back of a plane?
So in other words, so you're saying that everyone in these cities has dead guy out of a plane insurance?
I'm just saying this. Have you seen a single cop come around asking about those paramedics?
You know, that's a valid point.
Now I'm thinking it just landed on the parked car of some crusty old college dean, and he looked up into the sky and shouted, "Oz specials!"
Oh, man. Oh, wow. We could do... Oh, man. You could redo Animal House with Gundam pilots.
Oh, man, that would be...
And just do it across... Shit show. You could do it across the entire... all the series, right? Like,
Isn't that essentially the second season of Full Metal Panic? Have we discussed this previously?
Yeah, you're right. You're basically right. Fumafu, yeah, that's basically Fumafu. And it's pretty great. Like, it's the best of the three seasons.
I have never seen Full Metal Panic.
Neither have I.
Full Metal Panic Fumafu, the second season, is actually better than the other two.
I got really into the first season for its gritty mech combat, and then I got really into the second season for its wacky high school hijinks, and it's very hard to explain to anybody how those two happen in the same series.
Yeah, although I will say I think that Fumafu is a little would be a little harder to swallow in modern times with his just willy-nilly brandishing of a gun in school.
Yeah, fair. Actually, that was something I wanted to talk about with this show. I know eventually we're going to get to sort of how we feel this held up, but I did feel like we should discuss some of the tropes and how they would hold up today. For example, I feel like at least one of these five Gundam pilots would have to be female.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But here's the question I want to pose to you, because I did actually kind of work this out ahead of time. Which of you, the pilots, would you swap out? Who would you make the female character?
Troa.
I would say Hero.
Just leave everything the same.
I would say Hero. I would rather see... I think they could do a better job of developing Hero's character if he was a woman. Like, I think you could have them start out as the hard... emotionless spy, I'm going to kill you, whatever. And then they develop a character and a personality and become something more than just this wrench-tying, paramedic-assaulting, super spy assassin child murderer.
I love that we've all gone in different directions. In my notes here, I have actually my character choice as Wu Fei, because I thought it would be hilarious to have this female pilot who's never been defeated and is just sure that all male pilots are absolute crap.
I like that.
Yeah, I would watch that.
I would watch a solo show about that.
Yeah.
For Troa, it's mostly because I seriously have an issue with the relationship between Troa and Catherine, because there's like a hint of a romantic overtone, but she's saying, "I'm your big sister," and it just leaves me feeling very gross. But if you put a female in that position, not to be heteronormative, but if you put a female in that position, it feels more like, oh, they're sisters. This is how sisters act.
Well, see, one of the things I wanted to touch on was the concept of a possible reboot of this show. I feel like one of the things that I liked really about the series, but that I think would be played very differently now, was more my impression of actually Troa and Catra's relationship, which I think would be much more, you know, open and centered, and would actually change the nature of the Troa-Catherine relationship, because then there's less temptation to go, oh, big sister, but this is a little weird, and the amnesia thing, and keeping him sort of quasi-captive.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. I also think that what this show is a prey to is the tropes and the things that they used to get women into this series. Because this Gundam Wing was actually used to try to build up Gundam's fan base. Because up until this point, most of the shows were geared towards men and teenage boys. So what they tried to do was they were like, well, girls like Bishonen, right? So let's put a bunch of pretty boys in our mech show. And so then they started playing with the same type of tropes they put into Bishonen harem shows of the time, which was there has to be a vaguely homosexual relationship between a couple of the characters. They also have to be, you have your, like, Hero is the despondent one, like he's, you know, emotionless. Duo's the fun-loving one. Catra's the sensitive. Hero's the despondent one. Catra's the sensitive one. Duo's the fun-loving one. Troa's the moody, like, damaged soul type character. Wu Fei is literally the tsundere of the group. Like, he's literally the tsundere of the group. And so they all fall into those tropes, and that's how they got females to watch this show back in the 90s. And it worked. It solidly worked. This is one of the most popular Gundam series to date. But I think if you made this in modern times, you wouldn't be beholden to those things. You could do a lot of more interesting things with it. I mean, I don't know if we'll get to it, but Iron Blood Orphans is an example of them doing something different. Like, they actually get to tell a far darker, far more sinister story, a real story, than just playing along with these certain tropes just to get the fan base up, even though I feel that Iron Blood Orphans definitely whiffs the ending. But that's besides the point.
Well, Hugh asked before we started if we felt like the show held up. I feel like Gundam as a series, as a concept, is essentially constantly reinventing itself. So it's a little bit tough to take it because it's on that spectrum of this is certainly them rebooting. The fact that they keep splitting the universe off, too, so that they can update all of the technology and everything doesn't have to look. You know, we kept remarking on how this series was very much inspired by 2001's aesthetic. Whereas the original 70s series has that 70s look to it. I mean, it would be interesting to look at other series like some of the more modern stuff and see how that holds up. But I do think that, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast, is that it is constantly reinventing itself. So it's kind of a perfect little capsule of that mid to late 90s aesthetic and thinking.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting if we ever get to, like, 00, which is definitely something that took the same core idea of these tropes and these characters and goes in an entirely different direction with them.
One thing I will say about this this show is that it passes. I don't know if that's me that's crackling. Sorry about that. It passes the Bechdel test. So it has more than two quasi lead characters that are female. They talk to each other about something other than people they like.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest draw in for me. So that's why you hear me keep saying, you know, I really like Lady Un. She's very dimensional. You know, I love Noin, even though she has terrible fashion sense. I love Sally Poe, and I feel like she should have gotten more screen time. But I love Dorothy. Marlene is okay.
Well, yeah, not to harp on the concept of a reboot too much, but I really feel, just to sort of extend your point, if we had a modern Relena that was a little less useless and a little bit more, had a little more agency, I don't know if that's exactly the right concept, had a little more usefulness, I think
if she was a little less Relena, a little more Lacus.
Yeah, I think the dichotomy between her and Dorothy's position could be so interesting. Mm-hmm. The fact that she's so peace-based and Dorothy so, and that both of them have logic to their arguments, that could be fascinating in a modern context, especially when you're dealing with the concept of sending children into combat.
Mm-hmm. See, you know, it's funny, right? Like, I feel like with how much things are either getting rebooted or with their popularity getting a second series of some kind, I feel like we're overdue for this to get rebooted, but not just gender flip one character, but imagine an entire Gundam series of women. That has not happened yet to this point, period, in any of the Gundam series. There's never been a full female main cast. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact,
that would be interesting.
Matter of fact, there's only been two female Gundam pilots to date.
Charlie's Angels with Gundam pilots. I'm down.
They tried that, and it was, oh god, what was it called? Oh gosh. Oh, I can't think of the name of it now. I'm going to have to look it up now. But it was not good. It was like in the mid-90s. Oh, it was, oof, it
wasn't. Well, that's kind of Bubblegum Crisis.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Bubblegum Crisis, and
It's a little more low-tech. It's more on the Palabor side of the scale, but it's definitely all women cops in mechs.
Yeah, and it's to be fair, it's better in a lot of ways. Like what was it? The original Bubblegum Crisis, and then there's what, Bubblegum Crisis 2049 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there was the original OVA, and then I think they did a series.
Yeah. And that original OVA series is really, really good. Like I'm pretty sure there was a female Gundam pilot in, oh, what was the one? It was,
well, there's a couple in Seed.
Yes, thank you. That's the one I'm talking about. Gundam Seed. I think there was at least one in Gundam Seed, and then I want to say a couple female pilots have sprung up out of the original series. Like in Zeta, I think there was a female who helped, what's his name? Or she was in there with him while he Camille. Piloted.
Yeah. Zeta and Double Zeta, I think, have a lot more girls taking action roles, and there are a couple of pilots that are women in
the original
00.
Oh yeah,
but they're not
Gundam
on
pilots,
the core
right?
team.
Yeah, and there was one who piloted a piece of the original Gundam, right? Like she piloted like one of the things he transformed into, or
oh, like one of the core fighters.
Yeah, I think there might have been one in that one, but there's really not been a lot like. When it comes to female Gundam pilots,
it's behind the curve on representation.
Very much so, and I don't think there's been a black character, period, or a person of color, period.
Ryusei was a person of color in the original Gundam.
Oh yeah, that is right.
And they killed him
immediately.
Oh.
Immediately.
And you have to go back to the 70s to find that character too.
I think there are, but it's again, it's something that's harder to find.
Yeah, and it's because it's again because of the demographic that this show was originally designed to go for, like or aim towards. They're just very far behind in updating that demographic because the demographic for model kits and things like that really hasn't expanded much because of. Not because of lack of interest from people of color or females, but the lack of accessibility to model kits. Like, it's so hard to find them.
Just yeah.
In general circulation. Like, I mean, heck, at this point, it was up until Right Stuff's release of most of the recent Gundam series on Blu-ray. Like, it was hard to get these series in the first place.
I do find it odd that there's not more of a slot in the local, because it seems like we're having a bit of a new golden age of comic stores and hobby shops, and it's strange to me that there's not a greater shelf slice being dedicated to Gunpla kits.
My local shop actually is very good about Gunpla kits, but that's because one of the owners of my shop is super into that.
Right,
so
yeah,
he's
I guess.
Reliable.
Right. I can only speak to the local shops, but I never see them. I've, as you know, I have a kit that I've basically completed. I just have to put some decals on, but I had to order it online and it came from afar.
I actually picked up a kit this weekend in celebration of us finishing Gundam Wing.
Very nice. I've actually recorded. Okay, so I completed a Zaku, and one of my teens completed the original Gundam.
Nice.
And I've recorded the whole thing, so I'm going to put together a quick little YouTube sped up video and take some shots at the end once we're done decaling them.
Nice.
Nice. Like, it's, I wanted, there was, so the only place near me that actually sells them when they have them in is GameStop. And the two that I wanted is sold immediately. One was Epion and the other one was Death Scythe Hell version 2. And so I'm still on the lookout for those two. Because back in the 90s, I got one of the original versions of the Death Scythe. But it did not survive me being gone while I was in the military at my home. So he lost a foot. Makes me sad.
Mm.
But so I wanted to replace him with my favorite version, which is the winged Death Scythe. And, of course, Epion. But the rest of them are very hard to find. I know there's a lot of like Gundam Unicorn that I find. Because I was looking in Barnes & Noble, surprisingly. And they had like the Unicorn Gundam, but it wasn't the Unicorn Gundam like with any of the attachments. It was just the base unit with the red like highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't like that.
But getting back to Wing, I don't know. I feel like the stuff I really love about this show is the stuff that makes it not hold up.
And tell us what those are, Hugh.
Okay, so my favorite thing in the series is just kind of how extra the villains are.
Okay, like, yeah.
Everybody loves an extra villain, though.
Yeah, but where we have Noin, when we're introduced to Noin in her silent discotheque, and Zax, who's very, like, special about, like, he's very precious about his mask, but also he's somehow a master of disguise. Like, he gets in all these places in his mask. And Lady Un is just having the hugest murder boner while her boss is taking a bath in a Roman ruin and then giving speeches about how he's bigger than Jesus.
And
yeah,
and
then yeah.
And don't Dorothy shows up in her gold ass limo.
And in the movie, in the gold dump truck.
Yeah. Oh my god, glorious!
The gold dump trucks in that movie.
And don't forget. Oh my god. And don't forget, like it was Trace who brought that antique ass flip lock pistol. It was like, it's forgotten how to kill. Like, come on, dog. Like
this is Trace who like hired a horse and carriage to take him away from Rockefeller headquarters when he got fired. Dude, there are limousines. You drove past giant freaking robots. Why did you hire a horse and carriage?
A robot could have walked you in its hands to your house.
You pilot a Gundam. Like, you pilot the thing that the Gundams are based off of. Like, what are we doing here?
He just wants horses there so that if they die, they'll mean something.
By the way, he's also the only person in this show you see hunting.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm gonna say that it did. Like, although some of the plot twists didn't entirely make sense to me, it did always keep me guessing. So when they have Trace established as the main character, like as the main villain, essentially, or as at least the power behind that aspect, and then decide he's not even going to appear for the majority of the second half of the series, that's a power move. Like your show is not going to. They never at any point in Inspector Gadget were like, let's just take Dr. Claw out of the equation for 50% of the shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, like, think about it, though. Like, out of all the characters in the first half of the show, like, he was the most charismatic and the most entertaining outside of Lady Un. Like, and you can't have your audience rooting for a woman who shot a man out of the plane and then shot him. And
they essentially kill off Lady Un. Like, I mean, not really, but make us believe that. And then Trace disappears.
Yeah. It's like, kind of like
I feel like Lady Un was on a pregnancy sabbatical, like the actress who was doing the voice, and that's why they made the animator. And then they bring her back afterwards.
It's kind of like Mercutio in Romeo and Juliet. Like he was way more popular than Romeo, so they're like, yeah, we gotta kill this guy. or no one's going to like this story. Like, we got to get that guy out of here. He's too good. He's too good.
He is.
Yeah. Well, okay. While we're discussing favorite moments, I'm going to say that I think we all can kind of agree that if not a favorite moment, one of the defining moments of the show, and I think it's so obvious that we've actually already mentioned it, is Lady Un shooting a dude out of the back of the plane.
See, like, I knew somebody else was going to get it, so that's not my favorite.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think we can all just kind of put that one aside. Like, other than that, what's your favorite moment?
Well, and I was going to say
Inspector Ockt.
I knew you were going to pick Inspector Ockt.
I don't know if it's a cultural difference or there's some sort of, like, it was of the time. I don't understand why Inspector Ockt was injected into the show as a character for 4 episodes. His character design was interesting. His approach to the show was interesting. And then they just murdered him off. And I've never seen a show do something like that before.
Inspector Ockt was the guy who's like, okay, like, he was the actual bureaucrat who's trying to keep this, like, world-spanning pseudo-government going. While its owners are building their own personal gods in their basements and like ordering massive amounts of the world's most expensive metal so that they can build their own gunplicates in Lake Victoria. And he's like, guys, I just need you to sign off on the expense reports.
And they're like, I mean, seriously, guys, we're mining.
Like, have you seen this gun? It's forgotten how to kill. Like, does it know how to file a report?
Does it know how to file his expenses?
Do you know how expensive it is to mine an asteroid, sir? I'm looking for... I can't be called Peacecraft. I'm just going to go by Miliardo. That's fine. Can you it as Miliardo?
Just sign it. I don't care. Just sign the receipt.
My mask cracks, we can no longer be friends. Okay, it's cool. Whatever. Put an X. It's fine.
The mobile dolls are invincible. Like, do your mobile dolls know how much they cost?
Oh my god. They could do like a Shin Godzilla, but make it a Mobile Suit Gundam show from the white collar dudes. Like, the guys like trying to file expense reports and like working in the mail room. Like,
wait. I actually recall a series that the name totally escapes me. The guy wasn't supposed to be the pilot, but he has some sort of special affinity with the thing, and he's just a delivery guy or something. It was like a series from the... It actually might have been a series from the 90s or early 2000s. Oh, shoot. The name totally escapes me.
Martian Hunter... Is it Martian Successor to Nesca?
Well, that's the one where the pilot really just wants to be a cook and doesn't want to be a pilot.
There's also The Irresponsible Captain Tyler, which is a fantastic show. Oh,
Irresponsible Captain Tyler.
It's wonderful. But no, like, you could totally...
Which is really just Star Blazers turned up to 11.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. But no, like, you could do that. Like, better yet, it's just like how they do with Star Wars, how every so often you get a Star Wars video game where you're just a stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You could just be some guy in the White Fang, or in Oz, or in the Earth Federation.
They just need to make a series about Howard's unnamed assistant. And then the last episode is like, we're not turning these engines off!
Oh, man, like, or better yet, like, he's the unpaid temp to perm, and the guy that, like, you just don't see, like, he's the one bringing, like, Lady Un coffee and, like, getting the bodies removed from her murder sprees. Like, he's just a really put-upon guy. Oh, man, he's the one that's got to get Trace's roses. Like, he's like, we've gone through 47 dozen roses this week. The rose budget is out of this world.
We cannot keep up with the man. We've clogged up the septic tank with all the rose particles in the drain.
Yeah, the Grecian Parks and Rec people are pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the board of executives keeps asking why we have a several thousand dollar flowers.com bill.
I've gotten tersely worded emails from, like, several park rangers about Trace's behavior at the dock.
Also, there's someone here claiming child abuse, saying you almost let their child walk into a lake.
If we're gonna focus on any of the gritty nitty gritty jobs in this universe, I think we have to give a shout out to the paramedics who see nothing but boots flying through their window and they die.
And don't forget poor Alfred. Like, don't forget.
Oh, Pagan. Yeah.
Oh, poor.
Oh, yeah. Pagan. No, there's the show I want to see though, because his diary must be fascinating.
Oh, and it's probably really sassy too. Like, Miss Relena is talking about peace again.
Well, it's better than when she was obsessed with that boy that wanted to literally kill her. So I guess it's all right.
Why couldn't I have been hired by Miss Dorothy? Her butler gets to drive a golden Cadillac.
Dorothy drove the golden Cadillac. Like, Dorothy didn't have a butler.
That's all.
She did it all herself.
Yeah, she's a confident woman.
Drove that golden dump truck herself too, I bet.
But there was multiple.
She got her CDL license just for that.
That's what she spent a year doing in between the end of the series and
she wanted to get the real understanding of being a trucker, so she spent a year driving the roads.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! She was in the Cowboy Bebop episode, Space Trucker, the Space Trucker episode. She was secretly in there,
and she's very against like self-driving cars because it doesn't encapsulate the beauty of truck driving.
Yeah.
No droids.
So, did anybody else have a favorite moment?
I do like Batman Noin.
Oh yes, when Noin kicked in the window.
Yes.
Oh and, yeah.
Like
and
it was.
It's like her first interaction with Sally Poe, and they're like, "Oh, you're just like me. Yeah, you're just like me. Hey, do you want to like adopt all these crazy killer teens together? Sure." And that's what happened.
And then maybe we'll form like a world peacekeeping organization. You know,
No biggie. But yeah, no, that was. It was a really cool moment for Noin because she's at that point in the series, she was just protecting Relena, but she'd made the decision that she was going to protect Relena from violence by enacting violence herself. And it was a really interesting paradox for her because she really believes in the message, but in order to protect that message, she has to go and do the thing itself. And I think at that point she was like plotting with Ketra to make sure that they all had mobile suits and stuff.
See, I think that would have been a really interesting thing to follow.
Yeah. What
is the actual dynamic of how Relena wants total pacifism. And I think they wanted to do this and they just failed. But the fact that everyone around her realizes, yo, like you can't just be like, y'all got guns. But I'm a pacifist. I win. Like, no, like that's just not going to work right now. Like they're going to shoot you, lady. Like you need to defend your position somehow. Like violence, philosophy, something, and you're just not winning right now.
I do feel like the show sets itself up to wrestle with some really big questions about, you know, war and peace, essentially. But that in the end, it ends up being a show about 15-year-old fighty mech pilots. And that it maybe doesn't quite wrestle those issues to the ground, which is why we never really get a good Relena. You know, there's no moment where she just crystallizes as a character necessarily. She's okay, but everyone else feels like they have more vitality to them, essentially, because they make clearer sense.
Yeah, and I think we're missing if it was done better, we would have got an episode where she like addresses Parliament or something and vocalizes her position, you know, defiantly and clearly, and everyone would know where she stands. But we never really get that episode. Like, we get a couple spurts of where she tries to do something like that, but it doesn't really land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like what we're missing is like a one volume tie-in manga that is all about Relena's emotional core.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I think that part of that is the box that she was raised in, you know? Because it, you know, she wasn't given the opportunity to even experience violence as much as she was in during her breaking point in Endless Waltz. Mm-hmm. Everybody protected her from it.
I love how in Endless Waltz she throws it out the window and slaps the hell out of a child.
Yeah. Much. Like, so, I how Endless Waltz ends with their positions like inverted, where Hero doesn't want to kill this child, and Relinda's like, I will get in the way. I am done.
Yeah.
Did we get your favorite moment, Banks?
So I was sitting here thinking, and I've got to say, it was early on. Inspector Gadget duo is just fantastic. Like, I wanted more of that. I wanted more Inspector Gadget duo throughout this series. Like, him and his, like, little umbrella, like, helicopter thingy that he had.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
My boat.
Yeah, and all his little gadgets. Like, he was having his own separate adventure out there. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure him and Master Roshi had, like, all kinds of... Master Roshi was his cue.
Yeah.
And he was a very flamboyant 007.
Captain Sassy Pants, he's my favorite.
I would have loved an episode where he's, like, in Monte Carlo, surrounded by a bunch of Oz higher-ups, like, playing card games that he has no idea what the rules are for.
Duo playing Baccarat with just a bunch of terrorists? Like,
Well, like Oz guys.
They're basically terrorists.
Like, they're like Napoleonic generals in sunglasses.
They're all wearing Master Roshi glasses. I'm on vacation. Oh man, that'd be a good thing. That'd be another good side story. Like a little, like a one or two episode side story about Master Roshi in this. Like what he does, like when there's no Gundam pilots around. Like he's just a scrapper? Is he just going around like salvaging ships and stuff for parts?
Well, apparently he built like a huge freaking spaceship.
That he batarang'd into the Death Star, I guess.
Yeah,
the show is ripe for all kinds of secondary media. I kind of wish it was a comic series with, like, back in the old days when you get the main story and then the backup three-pager or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of room to have those little three-pager explanations of how they built this battleship and why wrenches fix all broken limbs and what happened to those poor paramedics' families.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know.
That's just a three-word comic where it's just the word machismo on each page.
Oh my god.
That is where the series, like, I feel turns away, is that it wants to have these in-depth discussions, but it's just like, but what if machismo?
So,
yeah.
I just had the best thought, because there is a show from the 90s called Trigun. Two of the main characters in that show are insurance claims adjusters following around this dude who is known as the Human Typhoon, because he destroys everything around him when he gets into altercations. Can you imagine two insurance claims adjusters on either side of this altercation? Like, they're like, oh my god, how many Zakus went down today? Oh my god, just... How many cancers was it? Why do we have a fleet of cancers?
Why do we have cancers in the first place?
Yeah, like, oh, I'd watch that. I'd watch it so much.
Why do we even have that liver?
We have a fleet of underwater mechs. And we're in space!
Is there anything underwater? Not really.
Oh, God, I could watch that. Well, so
is that like a Jedi mind trick? There's nothing to see down here. There's nothing to see down here.
King Trident really got aggressive with his anti-human policies.
Speaking of alternate routes this show could have taken, should we touch on the predictions we made back in episode 28?
Yes. And sure. We'll drop them into the episode here.
So here's a question for Jared and Spence. What do you guys think is coming up with the next part of the season? Now that we've got the two clip episodes out of the way, and now there's a fresh 26 coming your way.
I will go with my projections first, since I know the least about it. They they made their own Gundam, so now the original five have to go and find or rescue the Gundams that they have abandoned or destroyed and fix them up montage, and then big battle ensues, and somehow the main girl dies.
Oh, death to Relena, huh?
I mean, it makes sense, it causes conflict, and it's also prophecy fulfilling.
Oh, if Hero accidentally kills her or something in like the last episode, oh, that would be brutal. Okay, well, I'm going to say at some point, Trace is actually going to get in a Gundam and fight somebody, so that's got to happen pretty soon. Because up until this point, we've been dealing with, you know, sub-boss Zex, but we haven't really actually seen him just hop up and fight somebody. I do think we'll see more unity out of the five main Gundam pilots. I can't see that they continue this annoying, like, everyone constantly in a fight with everyone else situation.
Well, that's going to go on forever, but that's how they're going to express their friendship.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more coming on side with Zex himself, actually. I'd like to see non-helmet Zex appear more as a character as opposed to just being the husk of former Zex.
He can't do that unless somebody remakes his mask.
Ooh. I like these predictions, Hugh. I do.
They are fun.
They are fun. Like, and honestly, they're not that far off. like once things play out, you guys, if you have to go back and listen to this episode and see how close you were.
So Spence, you were 50% correct. They Yay! Did in fact fix up the mechs.
Well, and they were getting ready to destroy them. They were getting ready to destroy them, and then Ketra was like, no, we need them back. I'm going to do this weird wibbly-wobbly time thingy and send them back. So I was kind of right.
Although Relena didn't croak, unfortunately.
Well, Relena, Peacecraft is no more.
Oh, wow, nice. That's exactly the kind of philosophical turn this show would have applauded. So,
and I just did a little dance that hurt my rotator cuff. So yeah, it's all for the good of the podcast. But yeah, so it, I was pleasantly surprised at my answer and also a little disappointed that I didn't predict that Lady Un was coming back, but oh well.
to be fair, like this show, like in modern times, I don't think Lady Un would have come back. I think they would have used her death as a dramatic plot point. Like, and I don't think we would have got the
Comatose Lady. I think there would have been like a new Lady Un who wasn't as good and was also evil.
Like a clone or like Trace's psychotic daughter.
Well, no, like Duke Dermale like brought in an assistant for Trace and she was spying on him and he had to kill her for reasons.
You know, reasons are valid.
Or Dorothy would have ascended the throne. One of the two.
So I did okay, though. Trace gets in a Gundam and fights someone. Yeah, that definitely happened. There was more unity on the team, although the pushback on that the team being always kind of in discord is part of the appeal, I suppose. And then there was a little, like, if I failed anywhere, it was in more Zex characterization, because I feel like if the show was a little soggy anywhere, it was in how they handled maybe Zex in the back end. I don't know that I still feel exactly his justification for trying to ram the ship into Earth, but
yeah, like he just kind of like those guys show up and like, we want you to lead us, and he's like, fine, I guess. And then the next episode he's like, I'm destroying Earth now.
Yeah, and
there's
It made sense in the logic of, we have these toys on the field of play, we need them to do something, but it didn't make sense in the characterization they had built up across the rest of the show, to me anyway.
Yeah, and it's because if his character was so connected with Trace that you would have thought he would have been more inclined to have a one-on-one duel with Trace and have Trace lose, like, because as good as Trace was in the Talgees and how awesome the Talgees was, the Epion was better, and Zex as a pilot was better. So you would have thought he would have wanted that, but no, he even says in the show, he's like, nah, I'm not going to fight you one-on-one. I'm just going to blow up this planet. Like,
they needed it for dramatic tension. They needed some sort of impending threat, but it just didn't, I don't know. Too often it felt, well, I don't want to say too often, but often this show felt like it was being scripted not as an overarching pre-planned thing, but as something where they were taking chunks of episodes, I don't know, like five at a time almost, and maybe figuring those out and then figuring out where to go after that just as they were completing those.
Well, I think it's trying to adhere a little too closely to the formula of the original Gundam, and that Zex needed to sort of follow a Char arc, and then they couldn't figure out what to do that made him different than Char.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, you know, there is a, you know, I think that's also a problem with the main characters in this, is that we had such a great run with Zeta Gundam that you had such a great main character and great development, and the ending to Zeta Gundam is so good. So good. And then you've got Char, and then Char's counterattack is one of the greatest things that Gundam's ever done. And then you have Gundam Wing, because Gundam Wing falls after both of those, after Zeta Gundam and after Char's counterattack. And you feel like they're trying to live up to those expectations. And instead of letting these characters in this show be its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I was saying about Okt earlier, because I don't, although I have some concept of the original show, those influences aren't as obvious to me, because this is definitely the most comprehensive, other than maybe 8th MS team, I've ever been with a series, so.
I'm just looking at the picture Spence sent, and it is very accurate.
I know that we plan on talking about this again, which is our Spice Gundam pilots, but I recently found a picture of the Gundam pilots as Sailor Senshi, and that makes me very happy.
So do you recall your Spice pilot lineup?
A little bit.
Or I guess more specifically, now that we're done the series, who is which Spice?
Well, Ketra is obviously Baby Spice.
But Ketra's okay. The rich one, so maybe he's Posh.
No, because Posh has like a very aloof kind of air. So definitely he is the rich one, but he's also the very sweet one, the very kind one. So that's where I put that as Baby. I feel like Wu Fei would be Scary Spice.
Okay.
And Duo would be Ginger. Troa would be... Troa would be Posh.
I kind of feel like Troa would be Posh. Yeah, that aloofness, even if he's working at a circus.
And so that makes...
he's not paid to move.
And that makes Hiro the sporty one.
Are you sure, though? Like, I would feel like Hiro would definitely be Scary Spice.
Actually, that does make a lot of sense, because I do remember hearing about that 1996 concert where Sporty shattered her leg during the concert and then just slapped a wrench on it and completed the set anyway. So that checks out.
Yeah, Mel C is kind of extreme.
Now I will say, also, Hiro did do a dunk. He did dunk in this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty sporty. He wrote a whole
thing. Yeah.
He dunked
while lecturing Duo on blending in.
Yeah.
I forgot
about the conversation.
Jerry Howell was a very exuberant kind of personality, very much wanted to do her own thing, wanted to be funny and everything. So that's where I think Duo really fits in. Those are my predictions as far as Spice Gundams go.
Look, I think the Spice Boys win. Now, what would be their hit single, though?
Oh, well, it would be... Spice Up Your Life.
Would it be Spice Up Your Life or Murder?
Slice Up Your Life.
Slice Up Your Life, maybe?
You know, People of the World, Slice Up Your Life.
If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my Zero System. Put this helmet on.
I'm sitting here going through the Spice Girls discology in my head. Hang on. but I know a lot of obscure Spice Girls songs too.
Oh God. Oh, this is fantastic.
When two spaceships become one.
I was thinking about that one actually. Yeah. Anyway, that's a bit.
No, it's...
But we do have the picture of them as the Senshi, and of course, Hiro is
Sailor Moon,
Usagi, and I think we were spot on with this one because Lufei is Mars,
mm-hmm. Troa is Jupiter, Duo is Venus, and Catra is Mercury.
Yeah, so we got the smart one, the sporty one, the funny one, the angry one, and
the innocent intellectual.
I think we really missed an opportunity in the 90s to actually have a Spice Girls spin-off mecha show.
I mean,
it would have fit right into their movie too.
I mean, you got to think. Yeah. You got to think, right? Like, Spider-Man has a mech. Like, so
okay, but Spice World. How about Spice Off-World Colonies?
Spice is life.
Oh, God.
And there are five of them, and then they all fight each other because each one thinks they're better than each other, and then they all go drift into the sun.
Oh, God. Now I'm sitting here thinking because he says Spice is life, and I'm like, she is the Quetzalcoatl Cataract. I just see one of them riding a space sandworm. Oh, God. Oh, she is so, the
moon. I really think it would tame the sandworm with the power of total pacifism.
Total pacifism, yeah.
Dorothy would refuse because she couldn't get one in gold.
You telling me there's not a gold space worm anywhere in this universe? Like, do you know?
Speaking of being able to see into the future, have we decided what we're doing next?
Yeah, I think our next choice is going to be 8th MS Team.
Nice.
Which you can watch around along on Hulu.
That's the Vietnam analogy, right?
Yep, it's 12 episodes, so we'll do that and sort of have a nice quick break.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting turn because I'm going from being the noob to this being one of the few series I've actually seen. So,
like, I've seen it, but I haven't seen it in like a dozen years. So,
you know, Well,
that's why they call it Nostalgia Pilots.
Dude, I own so many Gundam series. I didn't realize it until I was looking earlier, and I'm like, oh my God, like Stardust Memory, 8th MS Team, 0083, Gundam Seed. I just have a lot. Although G Gundam is still the king of my collection. Any show where a man's name is Chibbity Crockett.
Oh, Chibbity Crockett. We will get to you.
Oh, so good. Master Asia. Oh, God.
So, interestingly, although it is a Vietnam-focused show, it was actually produced just a year after Gundam Wing, right? So it's actually very much in that same production period.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it goes, what, Gundam Wing, then it's 8th MS Team, and then it's 0083?
I think 0083 was a OVA. I'm not sure when they did it, but it was like 8th MS Team, and then I think that's when they did Gundam, like Turn A Gundam.
Ooh.
And then they tried to do Gundam X, and it didn't do well, and they took a couple years off before doing Seed.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. I've gotcha. Let's see. So here we go. We've got, all right, in the, okay, wow, they've got this broken down in Universal Century and,
yeah, but this is a return to the Universal Century timeline.
Yeah, no, actually they don't have, no, you're right. So, Stardust, Gundam 0083, Stardust Memory is Universal Century,
and it'll be an interesting take after this one because this one is so much about the exceptionalism of those who have Gundams and sort of like, you know, the almost godlike status that they have versus 8th Team, where it's very much about just the gritty being on the ground and very much no one's invincible and no one has a super mech. Everyone's just kind of slugging it out. So,
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's funny, right? Like, there's actually three different timelines for Gundam. Universal Century. Then there is the Cosmic Era. And then there's the Future Century, which is just G Gundam.
The Future Century is G Gundam. After Colony is Gundam Wing.
And Endless Waltz. And then...
And then...
Oh, God.
And then Gundam 00 is its own series. Seed and Seed Destiny are their own series.
Yeah, they're actually in the Cosmic Era, which is weird.
Yeah. So it's like there's Universal Century, and then everything else is its own thing.
Little weird thing.
Although, and then Turn A Gundam is like, what if we took stuff from all of them and didn't explain it?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, it would be nice if there was sort of your Into the Multiverse explanatory series, but...
Yeah, it's... Man, this... Guys, don't Google the timeline of Gundam. Just don't. Just don't.
On that note... I'm at the end of my notes.
Do we have any one side character that we would love to see a solo show about?
Inspector Oct, Imperial Auditor.
You know what? I'm going to side with Jared on this one. Inspector Oct did not get his due. He did not get his due. And I feel like a mini series about Inspector Oct would be great.
Just The Office. I think Inspector Oct, but basically in the tone of The Office, where he's trying to just keep it, like, you know, sane, and everyone just keeps coming with these ridiculous proposals, and then he just, like, looks directly into the camera. That's what I want.
So it's basically he's playing it straight, and everyone else is just themselves, but shows you how ridiculous they are.
Yeah.
I would love that, but I also kind of want the prequel series where it's 20 years earlier and, like, these five middle-aged scientists are trying to build giant robots in their barn in space without anyone catching wise to them, and they just, like, hate each other but have to spend all this time with each other.
I feel like that could get a little awkward, because at some point they've got to go try to get some little boys. Like, I just... at some point, they're like...
Well, that's where that series ends, right? Is the day that the kids come into their lives, and then they're like, ah. Oh.
We're going to train you to be murderous.
It's basically How I Met Your Mother.
Yep. How I Murdered Your Space Mother.
How
I Made You Into a Child Soldier.
Five scientists in a robot garage? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
although we did see in Endless Waltz that Tro was already a child soldier, and they were like, eh, you'll do. Hop in.
Yeah, we were going to let that other guy do it, but you killed him, so...
No, he didn't kill
him. No, he didn't kill him. The other guy. Yeah, that guy got killed, so you'll have to do.
You're hired. Don't ask questions.
And listen, it was my idea in the first place.
And then Inspector Oct looks into the camera. What about you, Spence? What would you do?
So I have two different ones. One, Black Butler, where the butler is pagan. Because, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And two, Space Moms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Have it be like the IT Crowd, but you have Sally Poe and Noin. I found out her name is Lucrezia.
Yeah, Lucrezia. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm glad it's just Noin in the show and everybody calls her Noin, because that would bother me.
I think Zex does a couple of times very early on call her by her full name.
And and then have Lady Un come in from time to time. Just to be like, oh, you won't believe what I had to do at corporate or what have you.
Yeah, like, just sort of the series is that's them as, like, Preventer or whatever. Mm-hmm. They form up after the Gundams are all blown up, and they're like, we don't have any giant robots, and Relina keeps wandering into these, like, terrible situations, and we have to get her out of them.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, a 15-year-old ambassador somehow.
But simultaneously, Catra has to come to them for advice about how to deal with his sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That would be the best dramatic scene from that first season would be Catra coming to them for relationship advice.
There's this guy in this team that I'm on that I really like, and he's got weird hair in the front.
Yeah, and they all know, of course, away. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I can see it happening now. And they're all sitting behind. For some reason, there's just a very homey kitchen table in the middle of this corporate headquarters.
Yeah, you know, like Golden Girls.
It's fun. What would you do if you were dating this guy who was in a circus? I'm like, you mean Charlotte? No, it's a different.
No, it's a different guy.
Circus. It's not for me. It's for a friend. Hero.
I really hope there's a circus out there that's called A Different Circus. That is like their main competition.
Oh, that's weird.
A circus.
Oh, man.
So here's a question. Would you guys recommend Gundam Wing to someone? Like, I know this is the first one series we've watched, but if someone asked you if it was worth their time watching, would you recommend it to them?
I would say the beginning is a bit of a slog, but towards the end, you get a lot of great moments.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You got to keep it in its time and place kind of consideration. But yeah, this is totally worth watching. I've watched a lot worse stuff.
Yeah, and I'd say you want to set genre expectations, but then yes.
And if you are a fashion nerd, you can yell at all of their choices.
No. You didn't yell at all their choices. You just yelled at one person's choices.
No. I also had a lot to say about those Napoleonic era uniforms.
But the tassels,
those coats.
Though.
But the prince fringe.
Coat. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm surprised there's not more cosplayers for the show, too.
Yeah. Like, it's weird because Noin has, like, the best jacket and the worst shirt in the whole series.
I'm so glad my address isn't on here because I feel like people would prank send me Noin's shirt.
Christmas is coming.
That's the ultimate ugly sweater.
You all can't see this, but I'm flipping off the camera.
The ultimate ugly sweater. Just a bunch of denim and tassels.
I wonder if I can pull off a gender-swapped cosplay by Balticon.
Oh, God. Listen, I'm thinking about doing an Eraserhead for Balticon. I'm actually in the middle of working on part of it.
Eraserhead? Like Eraserhead?
Eraserhead from My Hero Academia.
No. She's,
yeah, a guy who's named after the Eraserhead.
Okay, I was like, wow, okay.
No, deep cuts. but yeah, I love that lazy homeroom teacher.
Ah, that's a good show.
Mm-hmm. So, how's season 4? I know I'm getting off track. I'm sorry.
I have not had time yet because my whole family just said, like, asked me why I haven't watched The Mandalorian today. So
I haven't watched episode 3. I've watched the first two episodes of The
Mandalorian. Oh, I'm all cut up and I'm ready for more.
I have not started it yet.
I've got to catch up before Thanksgiving.
My favorite line of the whole thing is no droids. So good. But no, My Hero Academia season 4 is good. It's a lot more talky-talky than fighty-fighty, which I was surprised by. There's a lot of revelations. I think this is the show giving you its exposition before it's like, yeah, we're going to spend 6 episodes beating the crap out of things. So here you go. Get ready.
Well, those are kind of my favorite. So
Goku training montage.
Gonna be a montage.
Sadly, no one's training. Like, no one's training. There's literally, like, there wasn't the newest episode is literally them sitting around a table talking. I'm not joking. The entire episode is them sitting around a table talking. And I was
speaking of 4 people sitting around the table talking.
Hey, yeah, we got off topic. Sorry about
that. Does anyone have any final thoughts for Gundam Wing before we wrap up?
Lady Un deserves all the awards. So does Dorothy.
I will kill you. Yeah, I got
nothing. Gundam people, Sunrise, if you're listening, we want an entire series of female Gundam pilots.
Yes.
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 Look, She-Ra is doing wonderful on Netflix, so take a hint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Yeah. I'm on board. I'm available for voice acting. Just saying.
I think you make a great Wufei.
Yes!
But really, the crushing blow is yet to come.
I'll do my best Daria voice for Wufei.
So is Zero showing you have no future too?
Exactly.
So many quotes. So many quotes.
So thanks so much for joining us on this like 50 some odd trip down Gundam Wing. We will be back soon with 8th MS Team. In the meantime, you can find all my stuff at hughjodonnell.com.
You can find mine over at skinner.fm.
Find me at nerdswithvoices.com.
And you can find me at resonantmoon.com.
There's no outro catchphrase, Hugh.
Mission complete.
So you're going to blow up now?
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.